Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm dry this month.
Are you? How uncomfortable.
I know, Sarah, this must be my age. So, I haven't got a glass of wine, Lucy.
Oh.
So I need to keep my how am I going to get my giggles? Oh, well, I will do from you, obviously.
She says rapidly. Thanks for that afterthought.
Yeah, it's not whenever. Just the alcohol that makes me guffaw.
It helps though, doesn't it? Let's face it.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch. Happy New Year. Oh, no. There. That doesn't work. Happy New Year. Welcome
Happy
to
New
Ambridge
Year.
On the Couch. Oh, it's January 6th already. Oh. We are an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, and Lucy Freeman. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
Well, we began the Christmas bit with the passionate mysteries and the nativity, and me wondering why the Ambridge crucifix had to have a hinge in it. Was it a fold-up cross? Maybe it was a lightweight travel crucifix, in case you're ever caught on the hop. Probably for one of those catalogues. It's amazing what they think of nowadays. Anyway, Susan made her appearance on a flatbed truck swathed in fake jewellery and velvet curtains, which must have made her look like a slightly camp Dalek. And talking of Daleks, Mike's back. Hurrah! Strangely, Vicky and Bethany seemed to be unable to get out of the car, so they just spent Christmas in that, with Mike feeding the odd mince pie through the crack in the window and passers-by waving their hellos. Very uncomfortable little bit of emotional blackmail from Chris at Lower Loxley with Alice. And incidentally, Alice, the reason that Chris always put the A first when he vandalised a tree is because otherwise it would look like CNA and people would want to buy ski jackets from you in the 1980s. Also, what part of Chris I can no longer be married to and I want a divorce led him to think that she was gagging to get back together with him? Mike spent Christmas week pottering around Ambridge, reintroducing himself to everybody, reminding them who he is, and they took the opportunity to catch everybody else up on what they were all doing. I'm also unsure why Mike is working for Brookfield for nothing. Does he think they're strapped for cash? He is painting Rickyard, and Josh wants it either fluted mint or muted flint. It'll be that sort of murky grey anyway that's everywhere and will go out of fashion by Wednesday. Safe to say, things are not going spiffingly well at Bridge Farm. Tony is baffled by Natasha's little pots of things that he's never seen before. Deodorant and toothpaste. Why can't she just use twigs like we do, Pat? And the fact that she made him a cup of coffee he didn't like. Bearing in mind Natasha's coffee is probably from the Monmouth Coffee Company and costs £12.50 a bean, she'd probably be delighted if that pair of Philistines said, "No, don't worry, Natasha, we're happy with our Tesco coffee-flavoured froth cough." But no, they have to skulk around like a pair of whinging spies. Pat and Natasha then went shopping for a birthday present. I sensed Pat was a trifle uncomfortable in Underwoods and kept yakking on about how she would have been much happier in her favourite shop, which I suspect is small and dark and where everything is reduced and batik and there's a cat on the counter and the lady that runs it cries if you leave without buying anything. Underwoods is also surely the only shop in the world that has a whole blouse section. It's between the loon pant department and the go-go boots. Lorraine, who came to see Bridge Farm, had a slightly reedy voice and an annoying manner, so understandably she got on terrifically well with Adam. Even I know what HACCP is, admittedly because my sister's a chef, but how could someone who follows those guidelines every day not know what they were called? Lorraine sounded keen, but kept talking about doing some of their special flavours, which every time she said it sounded more and more sinister. Chris and Alice had an encounter in the tack room and they both seemed to have developed asthma, with Lillian as a somewhat startled and deeply uncomfortable observer. As a result, Alice spent the night on the swings and Amy suddenly came into her own, and as long as we save her for crises only, she'll be fine. Emergency Amy is a bit like a fire extinguisher. Sits there for years, bit dumpy and uninspiring. People trip over it or moan about it. They even hang their coats on it. And you wonder, what is the point of that thing? And then one day your scented candle has a fit, curtains are light, and quick, Emergency Amy! Point her at the scene of the trouble. Pull out the pin and off she goes. So that is the point of Amy, you think. Then we crossed over to what sounded like Felpersham Cathedral, where the Olivers were happening. How come every time anyone does a speech in Ambridge, they get heckled like a Blackpool stag night? Don't be so rude. Oh, and by the way, Amy has now set up business as a dog walker. Of course she has. Straight out the Bridge Farm playbook, that. No training, no insurance, no experience. But she likes the early mornings. Well, let's hope one of the dogs spontaneously combusts and then Emergency Amy can come to the fore again. Every time one of the dog sound effects went off, my dog went berserk, so she's not making any friends here. So that was it. Welcome to 2022 in Ambridge. Alice has found the thing that is really going to help her get her life back on track by going back to the place where she stuffed up so massively 6 months ago. Krusty says she's ready for anything. Christopher's unhinged. Vicky and Bethany have disappeared again. As Linda would say, plus ça change. The end.
Plus ça change. Isn't it just?
Oh.
Alice was going to... I was sure she was going to say, so I've decided to go and work with
at the stables.
Auntie Shula.
Yes, yeah. yes. Cooper, can you talk for a minute? Because Cooper is busily shredding his bandage and I need
sure,
to get...
Sure, because actually, Lucy, I'll just do a bit of self-promotion here. Funny you mention Emergency Amy.
Cooper!
I've just written a Shambridge, which is to be released later this evening, but it's actually about Super Amy, because I think very much like my friend Lucy Freeman, we had a very similar idea. I thought...
Only I said it first!
I just need to get out there in case you think I copied you. Today, I basically wrote that she is now like the super, she's the superwoman of the whole village now.
Yeah.
And she can do anything. But you're totally right. Suddenly, she went in literally in the space of 10 minutes from being really bloody annoying.
Yeah.
To being absolutely fundamental yeah. and brilliant and fantastic. And it worked. Suddenly her character has a purpose and is believable. You know, like I couldn't believe it actually.
Yes.
Because didn't you I know we're jumping way ahead, but in the scene on the park bench.
Yeah.
For those first couple of minutes I was like, "Oh my god, this is so awkward," when she was going, "Come on, babe. No. Yeah. Sorry." You know, like, "Thank you, Alice. It's so, you know, like, yeah. you're being so bratty." And I was like, "Oh, this is so gross." But of course, she is a midwife.
Yeah.
And she
and that
has
is
a
how
technique.
They, yeah, they is, that is how they talk to you. And it's how nurses talk, isn't it? When,
yes,
when
exactly.
you're in crisis, because you go into this, you go into a sort of, she sounded like she was slightly catatonic. She couldn't speak properly. She was sort of frozen. And you need someone to do that very, very simple language and very do this, now
and
do
also,
that, now do that, now do that.
And she was taking such care in what she said, wasn't she? Which at first I found really like, ew. But of course, it was really effective.
Yeah.
Like she was really careful about the words she used, which is why she has to speak so slowly, isn't it? And you're like, but
I don't know why she has to do that all the time.
Even when she's just... oh, no, I'm turning into me now, but she... it was so effective, actually. And that's what she would have been like as a midwife.
Yeah.
But now I'm so angry that she's dog walking because she's such a... she's had all that training and she was clearly a really good midwife. She should go back.
Yes.
Go back.
She should... It's not like they're overburdened with midwives at the minute.
You'd think at the moment she might be going, "Oh, maybe I should be reconsidering going back into the NHS. But there hasn't even been... No, why isn't anyone saying to her, like Alan, how are you feeling now? Have you thought about going back into midwifery?
Yeah.
Maybe a similar... You know, I just...
Adam just seems to have gone...
Alan.
Oh,
Alan.
Well.
What's his name? Alan. Alan.
Alan.
Alan. Alan. Alan.
He just seems to have gone into that kind of... whatever you think,
well,
love.
He's just
you think,
so
love,
bewildered
just,
that Usha's come back as a drunk. He hasn't really got a thought for Amy at the moment, has he?
I'm not even sure it is Usha. It looks like her.
I will not have a word said against her. She's always been a little bit like that. She's always been a bit like, Alan, you're a dick, but you know, but I love you, but I won't put up with your, but I don't have no interest in being a vicar's wife.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if she hasn't got huge life insurance on him and she's just waiting to push him down the stairs or something, you know, and then all of a sudden she'll suddenly announce that she's had her eye on a place in Tuscany for the last 5 years and now's her chance and off she goes.
She's going to get a massive multimedia room.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea, Usha.
I loved the bit where Kirsty suggested to Alan that he might like to talk to Harassment about Jesus, and Alan went, me? And she went, well,
you're the vicar.
You are kind of qualified, but it was just the sheer panic.
I'm sorry, but that was just, why was that written? Why did
to appease the moral minority?
But even if you're super religious, you're watching a passion play. Mm. Who else is going to play Jesus apart from a person?
Yes,
like they're not. That's what baffled me.
Yeah.
Well, I think Harrison was being arrogant by saying I'm too fit and gorgeous to play Jesus. Mm. You need someone. I don't know. I found it really stupid. You wouldn't, really? Would anybody have that sort of, he wasn't in the National.
I think, you know. I think you'd worry about, blimey, thinks a bit too much of himself, you know, that he's playing God sort of thing, maybe.
But I think he thinks a bit too much of himself to think that. You know, like, you clearly have to have an ego to sort of even be in that. I don't know, there was something I found really irritating and silly and smug about that, actually.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, why? Oh, didn't you find it annoying?
I just found it all a bit colour by numbers, you know, what our Lord said and, you know. Well, there's even a story about him saying he was hungry. Yeah. I'm not in Bible class on a Sunday morning with the under fives.
It was pre-Christmas. They have to, they barely mention the church except for Christmas and Poppy Day.
I mean, they're very good. They never talk about it.
they're very good to us. They give us a break for at least a year. Then they do
don't
a
go
week.
On about it.
They do a week hilarious stories about Jesus in.
Yes. And then someone dies and then we have a bit of, you know.
Well, we never,
probably with the angles now sort of thing. Except, yes.
None of that with Bert.
No, that's true.
Oh, okay. Well, I just found that a bit odd, and all that wild swimming, and what would have been much more believable was Harrison just being honest and saying, "I'm suddenly got a panic that I'm not going to be as good as Chris."
Yeah.
Or as good,
talking to Fallon about it and saying, "I'm having a bit of a wobble, love."
Because I've got to get my top off, and I haven't been to the gym for 6 months.
And for goodness' sake, I'm playing Jesus, and how the expectation of that.
Yeah, but I'm not being funny, but. Don't you just have to lie on the cross? Isn't that the part? I mean, I did listen to The Passion. I know there was talking in it, but that was just the other bit. That wasn't what they were actually... I thought all they were doing in Ambridge was he was going on the cross and then it was spinning around or whatever. I don't, you know, as you said, they obviously had some incredible mechanical contraption.
Spinning around? It's not a Catherine wheel.
What was going on with it? Wobbling, falling off and...
No, because once he got up on it, he was worried it was going to collapse.
But what was it made of? Wasn't it just a wooden cross?
Yeah.
Well, so like a ladder, presumably, and he just had to stand on it.
Yeah.
What was all the Mike having to get his axe out? And I just, none of that.
No.
It just made me, you know.
Love the idea that you thought it spun round.
Well, it sounded like...
Jesus is on fire! Fetch emergency, Amy!
They had to do risk assessment. There was going to be some massive stunt off it. I mean, isn't it just you stand on it? On a little perch?
Yes.
And people look at you and then they walk off and go and have breakfast at Brookfield?
Yeah, pretty much.
I assumed that's all The Passion was. It was sort of like a walking tour. You wave to Jesus. You go and see Mia giving birth in a barn. And then you go back for a coffee at whichever house it was.
Yeah.
In the real Ambridge. Because obviously The Passion... that was on Radio 4 has nothing to do with the real what they were doing. And again, I found it all a bit.
Yeah.
But it did make me laugh. I only just listened to it today because I tried to listen to the Nativity a few weeks ago and I just I was so bored.
That's the only Nativity I've actually paid the slightest interest slightest attention to. Largely because of Mia. I thought Mia was good.
She was definitely the highlight. She was brilliant. David was an excellent Brian Blessed, but Mia was because she was the only one being really natural.
Yeah.
And sort of truthful. And she was really compelling, I thought.
And she didn't sound like a kebab shop owner like Jasper.
Oh my god. Was that? I can't now. Now I'm confusing them all. But was it the Nativity or the Passion?
I think
he was playing someone from the Middle East I mean, to be fair, Lillian did say, I don't know where it's from. But I mean, I wouldn't have thought that was allowed. I don't think, like.
Yes, but he's.
But then he's Jazza doing it.
Yeah.
I'm still surprised that, because Jazza did an excellent Yorkshire accent, didn't he?
Yeah.
In something else. And I heard it and I was like, which actor is that? And I had to actually look it up. I did not recognise him. But then when he was like, you know, the king from the Middle East or whatever.
I'll tell you what, David still got bits of the scenery hanging out of his mouth.
Weird about it. Half of it was like a big panto.
Yes! David was brilliant. In a cloak with flashing eyes and twirling moustaches going, ha, ha, ha!
Yeah. And he was excellent. He was absolutely brilliant. He was like Jafar from Aladdin, wasn't he? But with a, you know, Brian Blessed voice. And then Lillian, well, I mean, just don't know what was going.
She
and
was again, Lillian?
But she was just a narrator, and then she was like a servant from Cairo or something.
Right.
Again, there was something funny, but it was very funny, but that was all quite panto-y. And then you had the sort of very truthful bits, which were really lovely, but it didn't really, I think some people were doing something and other people were doing other things.
So it's two productions going on at once.
But then of course it's totally fine because it's not really, that's what sort of gets your head in a bit of a spin.
Yes.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
It shouldn't have bothered me as much as it did.
They hadn't quite separated it out enough. Untangled it from each other.
Yeah.
There was too much crossover.
I always have a problem listening to the archers being actors. Mm. Because obviously it's a really good showcase for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then that always... But then you're like, oh, are they doing that accent because... they're really good at it and are doing a showcase, or are they doing it because they think it works
for
the
character? I want it for my reel, so I'm doing it anyway. I don't care.
Oh, God, I sound like such a bitch. I'm not. I shouldn't pick it apart. This is what I always do. Rufus says I'm really annoying because I just can't. When you hear someone, it's like when you hear someone doing an accent that you know really well, you know their voice really well, and when you hear them doing an accent, it's quite hard to believe in their character because you're constantly going... Oh, are they, you know, I don't know. It takes, you think about the accent more than the character.
Well, it breaks the thing, doesn't it? It takes you out of it too much.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, for me anyway, there was a lot of me zooming in and out of that.
Yes.
Trying to figure out. And I was distracted thinking, oh, who's that doing that voice?
You, me too. I kept having to check.
Yeah.
Because some of them were so brilliant. They completely disguised their voice. And I kept having to check.
Yeah.
But you know, actually, really the bits that were most engaging were when they were just like Eddie and Susan as the torturers.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that was what was so brilliant. But I know they had to do multi-voice because they were playing multi-characters and stuff. So obviously it's fine.
Shall we talk about Rory and Alice?
Oh, God, so much has happened, Lucy. I know. It's been more than a week. Yeah, what do you think?
I don't believe he went skiing.
Mm-mm.
I don't believe he's at university.
Sorry, that's what Amy said the other day. Did you hear her in that scene with Alice? She just went,
She can't be bothered to speak now. I'll just really point at things, head. Alice, and you look at them.
And there was a bit when she went, Alice, is that vodka in there? And Alice just went, she'd always even told not to say a word, but to sort of indicate yes. And it came out as, oh. Oh, Oh my God, I should just try and listen like a normal person and enjoy it.
No, it's much funnier when you don't listen like a normal person.
Anyway.
Yes.
No, he definitely didn't go skiing. No, no, no.
No, not
he's clearly
for him.
Not. He's clearly not.
As Jasta would say.
No, I can't do Jasta. He did a great voice. But
who was it? Yes.
I just don't think in 2021 that you are allowed to actually. Anyway, but
yes.
Anyway, it's obviously great. He was brilliant at it.
Whatever
he
it was, he was
the
brilliant
character.
It's
brilliant. Anyway,
yes. He's not at university.
No, and he's not studying.
He's not studying, no. And I don't believe it's cryptocurrency.
No. So, is he being a male escort, as some people are suggesting, or dealing drugs?
Podium dancer at heaven.
Oh, that would be quite fun, actually. But
that
then
would be
you'd, but then you'd be like, yeah, I'm a podium dancer at heaven.
Can you imagine, a what, darling?
Oh, sounds delightful, darling. Brian?
Brian, darling, now!
But it must be drugs, don't you think?
Yeah.
No, because, but then, what's
no,
his name?
No, it's too close to Freddy. This guy, Adam,
I can't remember what his name is.
What was he called? With the father who's got the jet or something. I think he's basically just shacked up with him and living,
that's
not working,
interesting.
Just kind of kept man.
So he's being a kept man. Oh,
and the guy that he's talking about, it will be his jet and he'll be much older.
Yes, that's interesting, actually.
That is why I do think in it.
Yeah, but then he could... Yeah. Well, it'll be good to see what the truth is with that.
But I liked the stuff about her going, but you've got to forgive me because I've done everything right, like tick, 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 tick. And he's going, no, I don't though.
Yeah.
And that is the thing with, because, sorry, I get very boring about this, but the addict thing.
Do you
thing...
get as boring about this as I get about people's accents? And
boringer,
like,
much
and
much
like,
boringer, Harriet.
I literally couldn't be more of a hypocrite because I just spend my whole time doing accents. Anyway, doing accents badly. Anyway, sorry.
You have to actually completely and absolutely believe the change that's happening to you. Believe that you are. You have to be totally convinced that you've renounced alcohol, and. Just going through all the ticky, 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 ticky. Did that. Good. Right. Reset the clock. Let's go. And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that. You have like a false start a couple of times before you actually get it and think, oh, no, this is. And there are some people who will never forgive people did or said to them when they were under the influence. So, and she has to, like Thingy said, you've just got to let that one go, Alice.
Let it go. Let it go, let it go. Don't hold it on anymore. Let it go. Come on, there's a baby coming. Let it go, let it go. I don't know the words actually, but
I think they are mostly let it go.
Yes,
so
that's all it is.
Right, yeah.
That's all it is. Yes, I actually agree with you because I think also Rory's young.
Yeah.
So why should he? Alice should totally. Understand that this is going to take a really long time.
Yeah.
Rory did not need to be so sort of hideous about it. He was quite brutal. But then I suppose if I was Alice, I'd be thinking, this is sort of a reflection of what I did to him. Mm. I have to sort of bide my time, try and earn his trust again. Or maybe time's a healer. But the travel voucher thing was odd as well.
Yeah.
Like a travel voucher. A travel voucher? What is a travel voucher? Oh, a travel voucher? What is this? What? What? Is this a... What?
It's basically a one-way ticket to fuck offville,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, I think, Alice, obviously you would be shocked because of the way that Rory was behaving and then he basically stabbed her in the back at the end.
Yeah.
But I guess... But I think Alice is... And then, and obviously, it's just so difficult, isn't it? Because Rory's really young, but then on the other hand, he must know that that if he what he said is probably going to trigger another episode for her.
Mm.
But then he's not thinking about her, is he? He's
no.
now thinking about himself and Jenny and it's very, very, very difficult.
It is very difficult.
And I can
indeed
see both sides of the argument. But today, for the first time in a very, very, very few months, I went onto Facebook to see how many people we've... Do you know, we've got quite a lot of people that like our page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Mr. Newbie put the panto on it and everything.
Oh,
oh, it's well terribly done, well run. So if you'd like to join the Facebook page, please do. Anyway, and then, you know, I sort of like subscribe to various archers groups and just sort of occasionally, because it's quite interesting to see what people are saying. Mm. And there was this really hardcore thread about Alice, and it was a proper big debate on whether... On the treatment, on how listeners have been reacting to Alice, and someone was saying, you know, you're all, I hate you all because you don't understand what it's like to have an illness like this, and you know, you've all been slagging her off, and but I was sort of a bit like, well, it's just a drama.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you are allowed to dislike a character, yes, even if they, yeah, have an illness that in real life is,
yeah, we weren't
truly
very
tragic.
Fond of her when she wasn't ill.
Exactly. I know. It's not really anything to do with the alcoholism.
No.
So it's just she's quite annoying.
Yeah.
But last night, no, whenever it was, the Amy Alice scene was a complete revelation, I thought. Because,
yeah,
yes, I actually really did feel very sorry for her. And I suppose because she has let it go, finally... You can, her vulnerable side sort of came across again, didn't it? And it wasn't that sort of, you know, effortful,
yeah,
one-notey stuff. It was really lovely, I thought.
Yes.
Well, not lovely, but it was very believable and,
yes,
well acted.
Yes. Yes. And I just felt like the smashing the bottles bit was a bit,
yeah, but you had to have a bit of panto with,
yes,
Lucy. And then somebody, who was it? I can't remember. Put a really funny tweet, and it was like, they should have used the recycling bin.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't remember who tweeted that, but no, it just really made me laugh.
Honestly, if you want a bit of catharsis, lobbing things in the recycling bin is very exciting. You really get a lot out there.
Glass? Yeah. Surely you shouldn't put that in a bin.
So, yes, I thought that was a bit panto-esque, as you said, but... I did get the impression then that she got it finally.
However, liked it. Yeah.
Chris,
it's dramatic.
Chris is still several miles away from getting it. As exactly as we said, he's still hoping, good, yeah, right, everything's fine. And now click, 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 good.
Yeah.
Straight back to, you know, this time last year. Off we go. He just doesn't. He keeps saying he understands it, but it's not going in because he doesn't want to, so...
But I have mixed feelings about that as well, because he clearly hasn't done much research and doesn't seem to be very patient about, you know, about the fact that it's a really long recovery. But he does, because he still loves her and because he's thinking about now is Martha and them being a family. He, of course, he's going to try and speed things along and. You know, and they were getting on really well. And I thought that I thought there was a spark between them. And it didn't surprise me that he tried to kiss her. And I actually felt a bit sorry for him.
Yeah, I did. And I did feel sorry for him. And I do have sympathy for him just wanting now to kind of like, right, okay, you've said you want a divorce. Then let's do this. Let's do it quickly. Let's, you know, rip the plaster off. Let's just get on with it. And I can totally see why he wants to do that completely.
But then that's very conflicting because he's always like, you know, I'm always thinking about Martha. And why would you want to immediately divorce your wife if you... Because there's no reason why...
Well, it's not going to make any difference to Martha, is it? She's not going to know.
No, but they don't need to get a divorce. Why can't they just be separated? It's
because
not like...
he doesn't want to... He can't move on, you know, because everyone's always saying to him, how's Alice and how's it going and when are you... You know, and... There's the in-laws thing. There's the, you know, they need to sort out all the proper financial arrangements and all the...
yeah, but it's still... It hasn't been much time. I would say to both of them, darlings, look, just give it a year, darlings, because there's no hurry and it's a lot of money getting divorced, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which they probably don't have. Well, we know that they don't have it because rehab was so expensive. I would just like hold in there for a minute, guys. You know, don't let it go.
Yeah.
But they're not going to listen to me, Lucy, because I don't do any writing on the show.
Yet. Yet. And, there was something else that we needed to talk about. Oh, God.
Pat and Tony's fluffy cappuccino.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, my God. How childish.
They're such a couple of babies. Oh, they really are.
Oh, God. I mean, what is your problem?
Oh, no.
Just say, oh, that's so nice, thanks for my coffee, and then go and get another one.
Ooh, actually, this is a bit strong for me.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Exactly.
You have yours. It's fine. We'll just have ours, because I know you don't like ours.
And
it's a bit
crappy. Didn't get it, because I thought she must have given them some sort of, you know, matcha bean coffee or like that fun. But no, it was just coffee, wasn't it?
Yes.
Coffee, but it didn't have chocolate on the
and
top, basically.
Sprinkles.
Oh, God. Tony's like the most irritating old
man
child,
baby.
Isn't it?
Yes.
It's so annoying.
Yeah, he's like a 70-year-old in nappies.
But I'm already enjoying it. Oh, my God, the blouses. What was that? It's just so funny. It was like one of the jobs I do is for English language learning tapes where you do sort of scenes and it goes abroad and then
you do it with Toby
and the scenes are always like this. It's sort of like how's this blouse, Mum? It's a bit big, actually. Oh, there's some more over there. Look at all those blouses. Like, literally, that's...
Yes, okay.
That, and it was a straight out of an ELT session, that scene. I just couldn't believe it. There's something about the way Pat speaks. It's so formal, isn't it? Like, there's even the word blouses made me chuckle.
And Tom kept going, stop saying blouses. Who says blouses? You say top.
I know. And who says, I'd love to get you a silk blouse, Mum? He was creepy, wasn't it? And it just, the whole thing was weird,
and
wasn't
just
it?
Give her a bloody vouchers and let her go and
give
choose
her a travel
what she
voucher.
Wants.
Exactly. Oh. It's odd. Maybe it's just me, but I thought it was odd, Tom taking his mum shopping.
Well, Natasha was there as well.
Yeah, but why wasn't she at home if she was feeling so shit? It's all weird.
All
and then
weird,
Pat felt
ridiculous.
Orcs because obviously Natasha, because she was saying ages about her flat. And then she was like, oh, yes, I would like a funky one, actually. I can't remember what the word they used was. Oh, no, Natasha thought you might like something glamorous, Mum. Oh, yes, I would like a glamorous one, Tom.
Yes. And
this
is
very me. It's glamorous but silky, elegant but formal. A bitch.
She never goes anywhere.
It was, but I loved it, though, because I just found it so odd.
When she got him, she said to Tom, she said to Tony, oh, I think I tried on 20 blouses and blouses. And then, all those coats. And I thought, you've not been to Afghanistan, woman. You've been to the department store. Stop whinging. If you didn't want to go, say, I've had enough, I'm going home. You know.
I think the script writers were playing a drinking game. Oof. And every time they had to get blouses in so they could have a shot of tequila every time somebody said
Shall
the word
change
blouse.
This to blouses on the couch.
Oh, yeah, could we? It would really change the tone. Well, it probably wouldn't change the tone of the podcast. Just a couple of old blouses on the couch. Hey, come join us, old blouses on the couch. Bring your gin and it. Maybe laugh. Hassup?
Sorry,
any Hassup?
Just having a quick drink.
I don't like this constant patronising of Susan.
No, me neither.
It's been going on for a while, actually.
Yes.
Like the whole Alan thing when they humiliated her.
Yeah.
And I know she was silly and jumped. Well, Alan should have just immediately said, I haven't split up with my wife.
Well, Usha's just shit stirring because she's bored.
Yeah. But a bit like, so they massively humiliated her in the pub. And then that Adam, I know it's not Adam's fault, but I don't know why suddenly she's being... I know she's not stupid. Like, I liked it more when... I don't like the sort of... I don't know. And, you know, because they did it back in the day when Tom was taking those Christmas photos and I can't remember what happened. But, you know, I don't know. Susan does not need to be humiliated in this way. Thank God.
Thanking you.
I didn't know what Hassup was, though.
At once. But I know because of my sister, but If you
yeah, but what actually is it? Is it cheese? What is it?
No, HACCP is an acronym for hazardous and something protocols. Hygiene and something. It's HACCP. Hygiene and cleaning something protocols.
Oh, Adam was then talking about hazard and I was like, oh, I must have misheard
it. No, no,
no. She said, I
want to
hear about
it. It's the HACCP guidelines. But you have to do a training course in HACCP. She would have heard it. There's no way she wouldn't have... She wouldn't know it. She wouldn't not know it.
I did like the fact that then she said, Chloe coming out there. I like the fact she told Adam to go and do the washing up and didn't argue with her. And he
you might know the name of that stupid thing she was on about, but anyway, that washing up won't do itself. Yeah,
well, she suddenly knew it was an acronym because she said, you know the name of that acronym. So suddenly she did know. But anyway.
Yes. Very glad the sodding passions and nativities and
oh, there'll
everything
be an
else.
Easter thing though, won't there? Lord. It's only a matter of time, Lucy.
God. Jazzy dressed up as an Easter bunny hopping down Lower
Well, that'd be quite fun. On a cross. On a swinging cross.
A hinged swinging cross.
Hinged.
And how did we feel about Mike coming back?
Mike, great.
Yes.
Loved it. Loved his energy and twinkling eye and everything.
Yeah.
But I just longed for Vicky to come in. And clearly there's some problem between him and Vicky.
Mm.
Which is because I mean, I know it's because they hadn't invited the actor, presumably, back to record with them. Our friend Rachel. But, I don't want to say that. No. Cuckoo. Cut that bit.
No, people know that we're friends with Rachel.
Oh, I know. Okay, yeah.
Well, they know that we're friends with Mike. I messaged him. I mean, Terry. In fact, I messaged him and called him Mike, which made him laugh. But anyway.
He is called Mike.
He is called Mike. I know, and I called him... No! He's called Terry, you fool. Oh, God.
But he's like a true life character.
Yes, he is.
No, but it was a shame that Vicky wasn't present. Or and Bethany. It would have been lovely to say hello to Bethany.
It would. It would.
You must be like 11 now or something.
But, she was doing girly things.
Yeah,
so
girly
she
things.
Oh.
And it was sweet. I'm glad at least they did come into the village and we heard about them. But then I just assumed that Mike must be trying to get away from Vicky because why would he be hanging around in Ambridge making up those jobs?
And he made a few comments about, she said, oh, Vicky's easygoing usually and all that. And I thought, is that a...
Yeah, there was a few little jibes, weren't there?
Yeah.
But why else would he be wanting to hang around? And so I think that's why he's doing those jobs, just as an excuse
to stay
on. Yeah.
Mm. Well, it was nice to see him. Yes.
Hello. Would be nice to have Vicky back. Hello, everyone. She's just so lovely.
She is.
Maybe she will come back. Maybe they'll come back.
Hmm. Maybe. Elvis Dutton. Is it time to do the emails now?
Oh, yeah, sure. My Ocado shop isn't... Oh, sorry. My little shop isn't... sorry, I was staying loyal. Isn't coming for 10 minutes.
Cashier number one.
It's not all I do for them, Lucy. I'm not only opening their tills. God. Just because I don't do their telly voices anymore. I am on the radio ads. Still, just about.
Could Darren come to the deli counter, please? Someone's put his tie through the ham slicer. Message from Elvis Dutton, sent on Christmas Eve. Uh-huh. Dear Hattie Lulu.
Hattie Lulu.
The boy is
we're
asleep. I made it to bed and the back of the prep for lunch tomorrow is broken. So now I have time off work. I actually get the luxury of writing in again. Usha is a voice I haven't heard in a couple of decades, if ever, having taken a rather long sabbatical. Up until Mr. and Mrs. Titchener got back from honeymoon. Was she always such a cow? Marrying a vicar and complaining about him being busy at Christmas is like people moving in next door to a pub that's been in situ for over a century and then complaining about the sound of people drinking. Tom and Natasha were trying for ages. They'd barely been married 5 minutes. We tried for 3 years before we got lucky, but I felt we'd barely scratched the surface of trying. My wife has a friend who's been trying for what's fast approaching a decade. I think little Miss Store Credit needs a reality check. He's got to give us an out-of-date plot prediction that Stella finds something out of order by looking at the Brookfield filing and dobs them in. Nah.
Ooh.
No, she fancies
Ruth too much. We didn't talk about the triangle.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we must do that.
He says, love and inappropriate gestures from beneath the mistletoe, Elvis. Thanks, Elvis.
Oh, thanks, Elvis. Yes. We didn't talk about the triangle.
Did you notice when she turned up at the pub?
I did. Oh, no, no.
Not
no,
the pub.
No.
It was...
When she first met Lucia and she went, hello.
Yeah. You could hear the clang as her face hit the floor, couldn't you? That kind of, ugh. When she thought, oh, there's another woman here. Ugh.
Yes. Yeah. And that was deliberate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because then afterwards I questioned it because then she got on very well with Lucia.
Yeah.
Definitely that was deliberate.
Yeah.
So do you
I thought she is either a racialist or she fancies...
Oh, my God.
Fancies
because then she was getting on well with Lucia.
Yeah. Which doesn't explain...
She can't fancy Ruth. She can't.
She does, I think.
But, I mean, Ruth is pretty, isn't she? But she barely knows her. She hasn't seen her milk... I mean, if you saw her milk a cow, that's one thing. You would immediately want to dive into bed with her. But all she's seen her do is file through some accounts.
Maybe she has a very seductive way of leafing through A4 paper. Who knows?
Well, do you think there's going to be a threesome at the Salsa Club?
No! Wash your mouth out, young lady.
You never know.
Oh, Liz Danziger says, I've been wondering whether Alice's drinking, a serious subject in its own right, could also turn out to have been a plot device to initiate her rant against Rawls, turning him from a thoroughly likeable lad into a grudge-driven enemy of all things Aldridge. One of my earlier memories as a listener was a quote from Vanessa Whitburn that he would initiate an inheritance dispute when he was older.
Oh,
maybe
my God.
We've just seen it begin.
Wow.
Big hugs, Liz and Olivia. Well, I think you're right, Liz, because I also remember, and I'm pretty sure she's question marked it, but I think also it was Vanessa Whitburn that said that. Or maybe it was Sean O'Connor. I can't remember. But that, yes, he's going to be the spanner in the works in terms of everything being all hotsy-totsy about the inheritance. But I think at the moment he's not a grudge-driven enemy of all things Aldridge, he's a grudge-driven enemy of all things Alice. Because if he's faking his attachment to Jennifer, then that's really Machiavellian because he seems to be so honest and sort of...
Yeah, I don't.
He does seem to be genuinely fond of her.
No, but is he going to try and cut Alice out of the persuade? I didn't see that coming, but that could.
Well, he's already started, hasn't he? Because he said, "So who do you think they'll believe?" Sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll just get Debbie in, and Debbie will sort it all out.
Yeah.
Do 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 do. Yeah. Hello, Debbie.
Hello, calling once a year. She hasn't been on the phone for a while, though, has she?
She hasn't, no.
It's been a while.
I haven't even been pretending. Right. Helen Sherwood. So that's the reason for Usha coming back. Oh, dearest tenor ladies, she says. So that's the reason for Usha coming back. To teach Clary and Susan a lesson, and Rory's back too. His diplomacy in not properly responding to Alice's apologies is quite something. And a realistic portrayal of Christmas across the country as everyone carefully avoided pissing off their families.
And then eventually on the last day, it all comes to the surface.
I'm wondering if I won the most out-of-date category. Parental fridge had 2018 cranberry, half a jar, but the much-needed restorative gin and tonic was scuppered by an exploding tin of Schweppes dated March 2008. Harriet, I was like Lucy and made a Christmas pudding, stirring it weeks before Jill, but after many years of steaming only for them not to be eaten, I too nuke one for the weirdos and enjoy a limoncello trifle instead.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really nice.
Off to find some poncy broccoli for fake New Year's Eve. Regards, Helen. Thank you, Helen.
What do you mean?
I don't know
fake
what she
broccoli?
Means. Fake
very...
poncy
Is that
broccoli.
A thing?
Oh, no, was that, wasn't it last week they talked about some broccoli that Mizuna... That was going in the veg box, I think.
Oh, funny. Yes, 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 yes. Because I didn't know what it was.
And she also, as a little addendum, she listened to the nativity and said, Maya did a cracking job. Mia did a cracking job, as did Lillian. But David, kill the king, she said.
Can I just reiterate everything that I said about the nativity? They all did a bloody cracking job. All of them. Bloody good. Beautifully written. Oh, there's a lovely song by Amir at the end. On my own. No, sorry, not that one.
That was you.
Lule, lula. She's got a lovely voice in real life. Yeah.
Catherine Palazzola says,
ciao.
It was so nice to be back with you this week. My 11-month-old daughter Josie and I listened to you over Monday breakfast, and it's the highlight of the week. She laughs at me while I laugh at you, and we eat Cheerios.
Oh, that is
Josie.
Josie.
Get the Cheerios. Throw them at Mummy. Yeah.
I wonder if she's called Josefina.
Maybe.
Because she's Italian, but I don't think she is Italian, really, is she? Or maybe she would be called Giuseppine.
No.
No. Anyway, moving on.
She said, Pat's outburst at Tom and... That's your when you went... Pat's outburst at Tom and Natasha's Chipolata announcement reminded me of when Hugh Grant tells Emma Thompson that he's not actually married in Sense and Sensibility, and she erupts. Emma Thompson did it better, though. I love that scene. That is one of my favourite scenes ever.
That is such an Emma Thompson thing to do. Yeah. As well. Like, really, like... play it from the gut.
Yes. I actually wet myself. Harriet's cracker jokes were just superb. My God,
thank
she's
you.
Delusional.
Thank you. That's literally the only feedback I've had. I thought there might be a bit of feedback about my jokes, but clearly, thank you so much.
She says, I am contemplating a monstrous Frankenswine costume for next Halloween. And she says, please add me to the US listener support group as I have no one to dish with here. Catherine, you're the only member of the US listener support group because since we made the offer, no buggers come back to us. So they're all hiding.
They might all be
now.
On the Facebook group without us knowing.
Oh, they might, yeah.
Because suddenly it's gone from like naught to
a million,
quite a
billion.
Few members.
Oh, okay. Guess
they're
what?
Probably all Mr. Newbie's friends.
Guess but, what? You, yeah, Harriet sorry. Carmichael, you will never guess what our Archer's theme is this week.
I might guess because...
Not in a million billion years.
Well, Adam's Family was awesome. Is it I know, is it like the theme tune from Pride and Prejudice from the 1990s?
No.
Colin Firth? Oh, that would be a good one.
That's your next one, Matt. Get
okay.
cracking.
Can you give me a clue? Countdown?
Yes!
Oh my God, that is awesome! What, how does he think these are?
I don't know. I think he's on serious like... drugs.
Well, he just selects them randomly from an algorithm.
Yeah.
That is really, really cool.
Yeah. Now, Daniel Jameson, who is my new favourite emailer in the
room. Oh, yeah.
He says, dear, this is headed, dear, my favourite voice is what come out of my phone.
Yeah, thanks.
I am also, you are my new not at all guilty pleasure. I am also a Mr. Newbie. Senor Newbie? Unlikely, I'm not Spanish, though I do enjoy the sun, he says. To the world of Ambridge, having only started listening to the Archers last summer onwards, I have questions. I hate these people. Is that normal? Why I tune in to groan, eye roll and berate most of the characters, but somehow love them and their weird and worrying ways is beyond me. I can't stop. Do stories often drop off the face of the earth or do I drift off at the wrong time? Shula getting lusty over Neil, nothing more mentioned. Natasha ripping Susan a new one and never acknowledging her mistake. Chelsea and Blake having chemistry, only for him to go all Walton to the dinner table and then bugger off. I also fear this show has brought out the sadist in me. I loved it when Rory told Alice how he really felt. I shouted at the radio. Finally, someone said it. In fact, I was almost egging him on to hand the bottle of vodka to her there and then. And lastly, Joy, dear Joy, the meddler who doesn't meddle enough. I need more Joy in more ways than one at the tone of this email is anything to go by. Keep up the awesome work. The panto is a triumph. And thank you to all for making me laugh and feel like there are other me's out there. All the best, Senor Daniel of Newbyshire. Thank you, Senor Daniel.
Grazie, Signor Daniello.
You are completely accurate. Yes, storylines drop off the edge of a cliff. You just get used to it. They come back round eventually, but it could be months.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I completely forgotten about Sheila and Neil.
Well, it's because we're used to it. It doesn't, you know.
But also, I think if you've only been listening for 6 months, you are definitely likely to hate everyone.
Yes.
Because they're pretty much all the characters are unlikable except for Jill and Leonard. And I'd
reduce that to Leonard, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. Totally right. So, but the familiarity doesn't breed contempt. It breeds a fondness for them.
Yeah. Right. Sarah Kellaway. A happy new year to you all.
Happy new year.
I apologise for using you and the fellow listeners as a vent for my ire.
Oh, go on.
But Tony and Pat, oh my God, if I could reach through the radio and give each of them a big slap, they'd be sporting cheeks like Mr. Tumble right now. I don't think they've irritated me quite as much as they have this week. Like, I'm not sure I'd like to live with Sausage Boy either, but it's all moan, moan, moan. I don't like the coffee. I've got no space in the bathroom. Ridge Farm must have shrunk again. They want to socialise with me. Buck up, Tony. Say it to their faces. Stop moaning to Mummy and grow up. If I were your child, I'd be very upset to know you were whining away behind my back. Maybe I'd even take it out on the trains. Oh, and am I the only one to imagine that all the clothes Pat was picking out in Underwoods would be the kind of thing you might see in a 1984 kaleidoscope catalogue? I just can't imagine her choosing anything that looks remotely modern, chic or fitted. Maybe Harriet could interpret in one of her drawings. She says,
I should.
I'm feeling much better now. You guys are more therapeutic than a session with Amy on a park bench.
I don't know about that.
It sounds a bit
right,
exciting.
Babes.
Yeah.
Alice,
all right, sweetheart.
Baby. Sweetheart. Baby. Which
well went, done, Alice. Alice.
Yeah. Baby. Alice, no, she's not.
No, it's babe, wasn't it?
No, but then it was baby.
Oh.
She used babes and then she used baby.
Oh.
Alice, baby. I was like, ew. But no, not ooh. No, yes, good. Good, Amy. Good.
Good, Amy. Don't listen good to Amy. It, but good, Amy.
Thank you for that.
The pantomime, we need to address the issue of the pantomime. We had, well, I had such a laugh doing it. And thank you for all the amazing comments. We had literally.
I thought you were talking to me. What? I thought you were like personally thanking me.
Well, I am, if you'd like me to. I don't know.
I'm so embarrassed now. I was about to personally thank you and Mr. Newby because you did all the work. And then I was like, oh, she's... Oh, no, she's not talking.
Right,
she's
not talking. Fuck off then. I'm not thanking her.
I didn't do.
You thank me first, then I thank you.
Oh, Lucy, God, honestly, what's that? I didn't do much. Sorry, thank you, listeners. Sorry, yes, thank you. Thank
you. And I think
you.
The two stars of the shirt of the panto were...
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Oh, Lucy, stop.
Listen, where Maya, Mia, Mia's little voice was so adorable.
Oh, thanks. I can't remember. I can't remember. Ambridge, Clary is the only way you can get into her. Clary and Ambridge. But then she didn't really, but then annoyingly, I listened to the nativity and thought, oh, she's actually, her other voice is quite, was a bit, in the nativity, she sounded a bit older, didn't
yeah.
she? And
yeah.
a bit more, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, no, thank you very much. No, the real stars of the show, Lucy, as we all know, were Febreze and Tom Peach. End of. Tom Peach sounds not quite like I thought he would.
Well, there's a bit of a story there.
Oh, is there, there is. Now? Because he like has a proper like.
Me and
the accent.
Me and Mr. Newby spent a lot of time on the phone over Christmas going, oh my God, trying to sort it all out. First of all, Tom Peach, God love him, because I forgot to send an email in time.
Oh my God, did you basically ask him to do it on Christmas Eve?
Sent in the email, he said, I can do it. Yeah, I'm actually camping in the bush. But I can. He literally sent us a photo of a sort of a khaki tent surrounded by, there was somebody ironing outside. I don't know what was going on.
Of course he was camping in the bush. He's Tom Peach.
So he does the recording. And it took a while to come through. And he'd said, I'll do it straight away. I'd apologised profusely and said, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. And he said, I'm so sorry it took a while to come through. A possum electrocuted itself on the overhead wires and all the power went out. So I had to start again. So we were mortified that we'd ruined this bloke's Christmas camping trip.
And electrocuted
a possum. Then we played the thing. And Mr. Newby rings me and he says, you need to listen to his recording. And I said, okay. So I listened. He's English. Tom Peach is English.
Oh, you're awful.
I'd forgotten. So a possum died in vain.
God.
We ruined a man's holiday. He's still ironing in a tent. And I have to then email him back and go, God. Hi, Tom. You know the hours you've already spent. And luckily... God love the man. He'd preempted it. He said, I think you might have wanted this Australian. And I was like, I'm so sorry. So the poor bugger had to do it all over again. Luckily, no possums were injured in this.
My God.
And then we got the full-on g'day cobber, which we didn't get the first time.
I can't believe it. Oh, my God. That is floored me. It's like a dream.
It's like there were dead bits of dead possum everywhere. English people.
But I'm sort of relieved, because when I heard Tom Beach in the, I was like, it doesn't really sound
like a playwright.
And then I was like, oh my God, stop being so bloody snobby. Just because he's got a very strong Australian accent doesn't mean he's not a good bloody playwright. But it was like, so like, yeah, from the bush. I just like, I found it.
Crocodile Dundee and wandered into the middle of our podcast.
Oh, that is so funny. That is so funny.
Tom Peach, we cannot thank you enough. Please apologise to Mrs. Peach and all the little peaches for ruining your Christmas. Because I'd imagine he spent most of the time in the back of a tent going, can everyone shush? Mr. Newby was trying to edit out the noise of bush birds and wildlife in the background. God almighty.
Oh my God, that is so funny. Mrs. Peach must just be like, those fucking women. Oh God, not allowed to say that on this, sorry. Those blimming women. Those blimming blouses. Always trying to get people to do things for nothing. That's so funny though. I bet they had a lovely sunset and a Barbie for Christmas. And you know.
Well, I hope they did, because I've got a horrible feeling we wrecked it. But anyway, I'm very sorry, Tom
Don't worry
Peach.
About the possum. Just put it on the Barbie. Tastes good.
I think it had already been Barbied before it hit the ground.
That's awful. I hope it hasn't. Can we just actually get some clarification on that, Lucy?
Yeah. No photos, just clarification.
Yeah, that it wasn't actually hurt.
So thank you very, very, very much.
Thank you
much,
so
Tom.
Much. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And those tweets, the comments were so lovely.
They were.
And that's what makes it all, that's what makes it all worth it, Lucy, because you and Mr. Newby had to do about probably 3 days
Newby
work on that.
Mr. Newby is a hero. That flipping edit was a night. Yeah. Trying to get the 12 Days of Christmas all synced
that's
up.
A lot. I spent about 30 minutes on it, because all I have to do is do the speaking bits. And then I just fling it over to you guys and you do all the work. Bish, bash, boof. So thank you. But thank you so much for the comments, because that makes it worth it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because when
really
you're
does.
There sort of on Christmas Eve going, oh, I've got this bloody thing. Yeah. But actually, it's always good fun anyway to do. And then it's so lovely when people enjoy it.
Yeah. Yes.
And you did a cracking job, you and Mr. Noobs. Bloody brilliant. On my own.
That is such an earworm, that song.
I loved singing it.
I woke up singing it.
I love singing it so much. I kept doing it. I did it over and over again. Even though it sounded the same every time, it didn't get any better. But the boys in the next door garden, in their garden shed, they have weights and stuff. And the young lads were down there doing their weights to the soundtrack of Hello. I bet they were like, shut up.
She's still singing it. Is it the same one?
She is not going to get that job.
And we have had some really lovely news. I introduced Patreon. I finally got my act together to link it all up and do all the stuff that we need to do to it. So now the podcast is not costing us anything to make. We are now breaking even, thanks to lots and lots of lovely people whose names I have here and I will whiz through.
Shall I do some sort of like beatboxing underneath it?
My God, can you do that? Oh, no, you can't. Oh, okay.
No. I was trying to think.
This is on tomato juice, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine what she's like when she's drunk. But also, some people donated on the other one, on the Acast one, and I can't see who you are yet. I haven't quite worked that bit out. So today I'm thanking the Patreon people who are...
Should I get my guitar and just strum along while you do it?
If you insist.
It's just there.
Okay.
Hold the line, caller.
Any excuse.
It's not in tune. It's not in tune, but I'll just play something out of tune for you. Well, carry on, Lucy.
Okay. Morgan, Laura, Joanna, Sandy, Anne, Juster, Invisible Lass. Are you tuning up or is that the song?
I'm tuning up.
Okay. Marcella, Ryan, Mindy, Andrew, Katie, Jan, Gareth, Carol, Tracy, Catherine, Rachel, Pat, Owen, Joe, and Steve. We're finished.
Oh. Hang on.
Thank you very much.
How was that?
You never got that job on Tickabilla, did you?
Also, I missed all the names. Thank you so much.
Yes, it's brilliant.
Because now Lucy's been paying for it, basically. And, I did offer to buy her a drink. One drink. But no, I actually genuinely can't believe people are kind enough to
But
it is amazing.
It's lovely. And to see, and the first one came in on Christmas Eve. And it was like, oh, and I literally had a little cry.
Oh,
it was so
Lucy.
Nice.
Gorgeous. So nice. And it means we can do our tour.
Yes. Oh, yes, it does. Well,
should we give some dates out?
I think we're probably camping with Tom Peach and his ironing board. But anyway.
Brilliant. Can't wait for that. The Outback tour. Ah, yeah. Come on, Mia. Oh, it's charming. She was like, I don't want to marry you, actually. Why not? Feels a bit awkward.
You're a bit scary.
I think you might have to be our pantomime dame next year, Lucy.
You could break that news to Febreze. I don't think so.
Oh yeah, hang on. Sorry, no. There's going to be a clash.
Yeah.
How about
there'll be GHD straighteners at dawn?
Aladdin and Jazza will get a big part, obviously.
Aladdin the bush, obviously.
Oh my God, Aladdin the bush. Oh, please make it happen.
Mr. Newby messaged me on the 5th of January and said, when can we do another one? And I said, are you kidding?
Oh, he's going to turn into Linda. And you'll be Kirsty and I'll be Clary doing the costume. Thank God there are no costumes. I can't wait for our Easter one.
Anyway, back to the script. And now we are crossing over to Febreze, who is appearing on the New Year's Day programming on BBC Radio Borchester.
Radio Borchester. Why are you waving at me? Oh, have we started? Welcome, and as good old Bruce Willis used to say in the Game of Generations, nice to see you, it is nice to see you. I am Fabrice of Fabersham, stylist to the stars. Well, I once pinned Carol Vorderman back into her dress when her huge bottom fell out of it at the Rotary Club dinner in Yeovil, so that counts. I mean, people could have been injured. I am, as I say, a stylist to the stars, but the people at BBC Radio Borchester got confused and thought I was some sort of astrology expert, so here I am doing a programme about the horoscope instead. But Febreze is flexible, as any of the podium dancers at Jack's will tell you, so here I am. First of all, Libra. Kim Kardashian, Gwyneth Paltrow and Jill Archer are all Librans, powerful and strong women. This year is all about Librans being entrepreneurs. I understand Jill Archer is bringing out a tea towel called This Smells Like My Vagina, so that is something we can all look forward to. And then Scorpio, your nasty little stingy bitey thing. Hillary Clinton, Marie Antoinette and Brian Aldridge. The stars are telling me that this is a very challenging year for you, Scorpios. Your lucky colour is green and your lucky meat is Aslet. Oh, little Miss Kirsty Miller is a Taurus. Oh, it's an hard and horrible year for you, little Miss Sunshine, so you will enjoy that. My advice for the year ahead, don't breathe in furniture polish. Gemini, you are the twins, and also Kanye West, Donald Trump, and Ruth Archer. Well, you are clearly one of the more unhinged signs of the zodiac, so this is more of a prediction for the other star signs. Stay away from Gemini. They are all a big load of bonker. Cancerians, for you I see... Oh, Adam Macy. I don't want to say too much about this one. It is personal. Fabrice is still... Well, I am still regaining my spiritual strength. Let us just say that it is no surprise to me that Cancerians are associated with crabs. Sagittarians, buckle up. You are going to be very successful this year, as long as you are careful about certain planetary influences. Freddy Pargeter is a Sagittarius, and I do not know how many times I have said to him, Freddy, take care of Uranus. Leo is the lion. And it is also Kylie Jenner and Jennifer Lopez and Shula. Oh, God, all the glamour there. Fabrice's key piece of advice, avoid mauve. Nothing to do with Leo's. It is just an awful colour. Virgo. Oh, now Virgo is very nitty-picky. Knit, knit, pick, pick, they go. Making everything straight and in order. They make fabulous cleaners, but I would not go to bed with one. They would be worrying about cobwebs, and I could not concentrate. Happy birthday to Jennifer Aldridge. Today is Lady Dame Jennifer Aldridge's birthday, I think, which makes her a Capricorn. This year, dare to dream, silence your critics, and treat your athlete's foot. Aquarius is a water sign and is Pip Archer, so I would imagine mud will feature heavily. Never happier than when she is wiping something icky off her face, that one. I tried to give her a manicure, but we had to bring out the secateurs in the end. Oh, Pisces, look. That is me. Yes, Fabrice is a Pisces, which explains why I am stylish, extrovert, and all of that show business kapow. My year is going to be very good indeed, once a certain young man who works at the sofa workshop in Felbersham works out which side his bread has got the jam on. I will not say more. He know who he is. And finally, Aries, who always want to come out on top. Oh, that brings us back to sofa workshop, man. Yes, Declan, I am talking to you. It will be a good year for you Arieses financially, so sort out the down payment on those air extensions. So, there we are. Thank you for joining Fabrice on his journey through the astrological system or stars. But remember, whenever we are born, we are all stars. And also, there is a 2-for-1 on underarm waxing if you book before January 10th.
iTunes and you'll never miss an episode. And please give us a review. Actually, reviews are also really important.
Yes.
Because I didn't know this, but it changes all your algorithms and stuff, so more people find you.
Yes.
So that would be amazing. Thank you.
Yes.
We don't ask much. And we will give you big kisses.
In the
meantime. Or apart in our panto.
Yes. Parts for all.
Oh, that would be good. We should do an auction.
Oh my God. And in the meantime, if you'd like to contact us, you can email ambridgeonthecouch
@gmail.com.
Oh, hello, Elizabeth.
Hi. Oh, hi. We are on Ambridge on Twitter.
Or you can follow Mr. Newbie.
@newbiecouch. Because we haven't seen her for a while.
I know, where is she? I bet she's doing panto.
She should have been, maybe, but she should have been in The Passion.
She should.
No, the nativity, one of them, she should have definitely been in it.
And in the meantime, it's goodbye from all of us and have a lovely week and a very, very happy new year.
Happy new year.
Can you do Kumbaya?
Basically, that's all I can do.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.